Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
It's time for your favorite doctor, your lunchtime doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed, lunchtime doctor, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5 FM, and the Vibe City 105 FM. Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon, Base, and good afternoon to every single one locked in right here to your lunchtime doctor. As you all know, this program is to help dissect these medical challenges we face every day, to answer some of these concerns, to point you in the right direction, to highlight the red flags, and to those who are tuned in having their lunch, please share with us what's on your lunchtime plate. We hope it's something healthy. We hope you've learned something from this program and sharing it with your community. So let's jump right into the program. I am Dr. Sophia Mohammed, your lunchtime doctor.
All right, let's get your calls and messages right away, folks. 627-3223, 625-2257. Of course, WhatsApp messages only, 306-1065, and feel free to message our other frequencies and they will send your messages right to us here.
Thank you so much. So on this morning brew, we talked about World Hypertension Day, which is tomorrow. But every day, as from your calls, we have a patient dealing with high blood pressure. So let's break down what exactly is high blood pressure. Today, we're going to talk about the consequences, how to prevent this inevitable thing called a stroke, a heart attack, and of course, touch on cardiac rehabilitation. So today, we're going to talk about this morning on CNC3 Morning Brew, we talked a little bit about high blood pressure, the consequences, stroke, some of the unfortunate where one's life can be threatened, where it can affect your eyes, where it can affect your kidneys. And we want to look at how we can prevent this high blood pressure from becoming elevated. Just making sure you all are hearing there.
Yeah, we're hearing you now, but you're going in and out for some reason.
Not too sure. Sometimes this technology gives us a little problems, the service provider. But let's jump straight into the calls or messages.
And of course, let's get your calls, folks, at 627-3223, 625-2257, and 306-1065 for all of your WhatsApp calls and messages. Doctor, of course, we're talking, you know, hypertension day tomorrow. What are some of the foods that one should stay away from if they do, you know, come across being hypertensive? You know, Trinis, we always talk about salt, your salt intake, but what are some of the things? Can hypertension be, well, not totally cured, but can it be maintained? What are some things you can do to maintain your hypertension?
So when it comes to maintaining, being consistent with your medications is key. Making sure we avoid the triggers. And what are the triggers? We've talked about them over and over. That high salt food, overly processed foods. You want to stick to as natural as possible. But this morning we mentioned something on TV that most persons actually didn't know. Some cough decongestants actually can predispose or alleviate one's high blood pressure. So when one may have the cold, if you're hypertensive, let's make sure you check that cough medicine, especially if they're decongestants, to ensure that it's not going to worsen your high blood pressure. You want to ensure that these decongestants are not laced with pseudoephedrine or ephedrine. Now, for those who are not hypertensive, certainly you can continue to take those decongestants. For those who are hypertensive, just be mindful of it. If in case that's prescribed for you, that's one of your more typical cough and cold flu medications or even sinus medications. So it's important that hypertensive patients be aware of it. When it comes to foods and things to avoid, smoking, drinking, all of this worsens the risk and the complications of high blood pressure.
All right, great. Of course, let's get a call here. Hello, welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Hello, good morning. I have a little problem. I'm a 57, going on 58. and I have a waist pain just above the hip. And also, I got a little tickling sensation around the left side of my heart or chest. I don't know if the doctor could share any enlightenment concerning that. I'll listen off here.
Definitely. Thank you. Now, any sort of lower back pain, we must evaluate urgently. It may be from a previous trauma, like a fall or injury, or it may be some sort of constriction or restriction with the nerves running through the spinal cord. There may be a stenosis. It may be something with the disc. Sometimes we have herniated disc, and that initial pain is, you know, sharing that what can further open up or cause or lead to much more complications. It may even be another thing called sciatica. So it's so important that when you're experiencing that lower back pain, we get it checked out. There's no such thing as a little bit of lower back pain, because lower back pain, unless you can identify the trigger, most likely is directly related to the lumbar spine or some sort of nerve injury. And that's why it's important to get it checked out. Now, with respect to the other symptoms, it's always important. Once we see changes, we go from good health to changes in our lifestyle. And if this habit or if the particular symptom that you're experiencing is affecting your quality of life, I advocate to all of our patients, please, especially those tuned in here, make that appointment. Be brave. Go have the conversation with a healthcare professional and let's get to the bottom of it. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks. Of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. He's got a question here. Good afternoon. I'm a 43-year-old female who's had a myomycectomy in 2017. There's a reoccurrence of the fibroids, which are approximately 5 centimeters. These are pressing against my uterus, and my gynecologist indicated another myomycectomy may be an option, as my husband and I are attempting to get pregnant. Doctor, is pregnancy possible without that procedure?
Thank you so much for such a detailed concern. My heart goes out to you, especially anyone who's trying to get pregnant and in such a complicated situation. But let me try to put some light to it. I think thus far you've been getting good guidance. You've already, you know, unfortunately, that there are some uterine fibroids, and you bravely pursued that myomectomy, which is the abdominal repair or the surgical removal of the fibroids. Now, when they are fibroids, typically it tends to be implanted within the endometrial layer, and that's the same exact place where baby, even before baby, the fetus is nurtured within the uterus or on the endometrial layers. So keep in mind that if there's a fibroid blocking, then the body would be fooled to think that there's already something in the uterus, and unfortunately, pregnancy may not be possible at this point in time. Your counsel, whoever is guiding you, the doctor, the healthcare professional, gave you good advice. Sadly, the fibroids have returned, and yes, they will need to be removed completely if you are to engage or have a successful pregnancy. Hope that answers your question.
Right. Good morning. Good afternoon, doctor. My friend has high blood pressure. She had a cold and was taking over-the-counter meds, and she got a stroke. You are quite right. I don't know, probably this was something that happened we were speaking about yesterday.
Yes, and we just mentioned it right before at the beginning of the program, that certain medications can worsen one high blood pressure. So just as the caller mentioned, there is a person who messaged in that it's so important, if you are hypertensive and you have the cold, be aware of what medications you're taking, because those cold medications, over the counter in particular, those that you're using for the cold, the flu, the sinus meds, if there's pseudoephedrine, ephedrine, phenylephrine, or even oxymetazoline, these are all over-the-counter decongestants, they can indeed worsen the blood pressure so high, as that person who just messaged and say that they can present with a stroke. Now, what values, what high blood pressure values can one present with as a stroke? Anything over 140, 90, I'm concerned. That tends to be elevated blood pressure. Your hypertensive crisis is when it goes to 180 over 100. That's when we need to go to the doctor right away. Right away, right away, right away. But the person who messaged in, I'm so sorry about your friend. I do hope she's recovering and engaging in some sort of rehabilitation for the effects of that stroke.
All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Turn your radio down, please. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, man, you see, I have been having a real bad sickness, right? Now, I've been having this issue a few months now. I think I need a new bed. But I wish I'd see it been real bad that I can't even move. So I wonder, is that really going to
get this issue? Yeah, sounding right. What you said, stiff neck? Is stiff neck you said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, that's not fair. Yeah, doc. I don't know if you heard that. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much for calling in. We didn't quite hear all of what you said, but if it is, you did say that stiffness on the neck, it may be particularly when you're waking up in the morning. Now, here's one of the most common things that present with that stiffness of the neck. We talk about it quite a few times. Tension, that stress or anxiety, is one of the most common presentations with that tightness in the neck. It's also important that you, just like there's lumbar pain or pain in the lumbar area, which is your lower spine, that stiff neck, you can also have cervical pain. So there can be something called a cervical spondylitis or even cervical stenosis. So that's the cervical bones, which are the upper seven bones on the spinal canal. It's again any sort of pain. Pain is a level of dysfunction. It will only get worse if we don't know the cause, the reason, the trigger, the root cause. Some persons, unfortunately, easily just numb the pain. They take a medication, they take an over-the-counter medication, and they continue to do so until the pain becomes so overbearing that they cannot manage it. I admonish you all, I beg you all, don't wait until especially a pain symptom become so overbearing that that's when you're going to present. If you can put things in place, present to your healthcare professional.
All right, folks, once again, you listen to the lunchtime doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Just want to get some information, right? I'm a diabetic, and whenever I get it mixed, it has turned black. I want to know what is the reason for that, and I'll listen off it.
Hold on.
There's a whole answer. Hold on. So we didn't hear you. Whenever you get what?
All we heard is that you're diabetic, and then lastly, you want some advice on something that turns black. Is it the urine? Is it the stool? What's it?
Hung up there, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. So let's make some quick assumptions. So for all of our diabetics, anyone that if you're having concerns with passing a bowel action, and if the color becomes so darkened, it looks blacker, that is something outside of diabetes. It may be blood in the stools, it may be from a polyp, it may be from hemorrhoid. Either which way, if there's black, tarry stools or any sort of changes, and yes, we look even at the bowel action, because this may mean blood passing from the GI, the gastrointestinal tract, and being expressed or mixed with the stool. Either which way, that's abnormal. Get it checked out soon. I hope the caller hears the answer.
All right, maybe this is him calling back. Hello, good afternoon. Hello?
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes?
Good afternoon. Any operations? The same caller calling back with the diabetes, right? Yeah, you know, right? Yeah.
Yes,
any
we are.
Any operations that I get on my legs and hands, it turns black. I want to know what is the reason for that.
Okay, thank you so much. So completely different question. Thank you so much for trying to call again. With our diabetics in particular, healing tends to be delayed. We do know the immune system is not as functional in a diabetic patient, and especially in the lower limbs. There's something called peripheral neuropathy, especially with our diabetics. And that's why it's so important we talk about taking good care of your feet. Now, why does the wounds take so long to heal and also heal with a darkened color, a hyperpigmentation? That may be, again, the sugar control in the body is not well regulated. So any diabetic, you must stay consistent with your medications. With our feet care for our diabetics, we often advise to see a podiatrist. We often advise, make sure you're clipping the nails properly. We often advise, if you notice any cuts or wounds, to attend to them right away. They may even need not just attention at home, attention at the health center, because these wounds do not heal properly, and that's why they heal with the darkened areas. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, let's go to the WhatsApp. WhatsApp's there. I am diabetic. A lot of diabetic questions today. I am diabetic since 2018. Too many mangoes when on holiday. When I got back to Canada, I had to be rushed to the emergency, was taking insulin. Since then, I'm now taking the blood circulation tea. What else can I take? Is there a number for the live show?
Thank you so much. So I'm sorry that you are unfortunately diabetic. It may not only be the mangoes. It could play a little bit of family history. In Trinidad and Tobago, we have a high genetic inheritance. My both parents are diabetic, so I know I have a 75% risk. So that's why I pay particular attention to what I eat. Do I sometimes indulge? Yes. This weekend for Mother's Day, we had a chocolate or two. And that's okay, but everything in balance and moderation. So I don't think it's too many mangoes, but to all of our diabetics out there, yes, mangoes do have a high glycemic index, so everything in moderation. Now, answering your question, what else can you do? You're taking insulin. It's so important. One, you're exercising. Two, you're watching your nutrition. And of course, the things that you're eating, turn to the back. Look at the nutrition facts. Look at the amount of sugars that there is present. Keep in mind things like smoking and alcohol, not sleeping well, stress, all of these can worsen one's diabetes status. You want to maintain a healthy status. So healthy habits will equate that. Hope it answers your question.
All right, beautiful. Of course, and then, Doc, well, you know, we have our show Diabetes and You every Thursday with Andrew Dano. He's the president of the Diabetes Association. But is it always hereditary that, you know, one's parents or there's a family history that you will get diabetes if you're not careful?
So no, and I'm glad that you mentioned the show. Being one of the technical advisors with our Diabetes Association, we know the importance of that show on Thursday, same time, 12 to 1, just focus on diabetes. Answering the question, is it only genetic? No. Sometimes there can be no predisposing factor, just the environmental factors. And again, that's why we talk about lifestyle so much. A sugar overload, a metabolic dysfunction, can then cause that lead to the presentations of diabetes. Now, that's diabetes type 2. Yesterday, a caller called in and asked about type 1. And yes, I'm so grateful that he did, because there are so many persons that still up to today, despite all of the education we're doing, may not know the difference between type 1 and type 2. So we're like with type 1 diabetes, where our children present with those, that tends to be a dysfunction of the cells, a biological dysfunction. So not all is genetic in nature. There are many other triggers, but in our population, in our high population of incidence of diabetic patients, it tends to be familial.
All right, there's another person here with diabetes. Get it, doctor, I am pre-diabetic. I got burnt. Can you give me a little insight about this picture? They sent a picture. The picture is a very bad burn, but I don't know how long probably they have the burn. But if one is pre-diabetic and got burnt and it is taking long to heal, what should they do?
Yes. So just like we mentioned, either diabetes or pre-diabetics, they all have delayed wound healing. I want you to pay particular attention to that burn, depending on if it's a surface level burn or if it goes lower. You want to make sure, one, it's dressed properly. So your dressings may need to be changed every day. Two, you may need to have some antibiotic dressings as well, or the wound care or the medications placed onto the burn may need to be a topical antibiotic. You may need to then take systemic, so as in oral antibiotics as well, and other medications just to complete that wound healing process, to amplify it, to make it a little bit better, to support it. Do not let this wound just go untouched or not properly cared for, because a wound, a diabetic wound in particular, can become septic very quickly. And when I say septic, it can then lead to gangrene. Now, if this wound is in the lower limbs, in the toes, we've had to unfortunately amputate a lot of lower limbs, from toes to entire under the ankle, feet, below the knee, full lower limb amputations, all because of poor wound healing. So please make sure you go to the health center, get it dressed properly, and make sure there's proper antibiotic support.
All right, great. Of course, 12:31 on time, folks. We're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Sangit 106.1, and Vibe City 105 FM. You are listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed, answering all your questions. Of course, 627-3223 and 625-2257. WhatsApp messages at 306-1065. Doctor, I felt a pain in my chest recently. I am a bit overweight. Should I get checked? Could this be a heart attack or something else?
Great question. I am glad you're already cued in. So one, you are aware. We always talk about the ABCs. Let's make sure you take that next step and yes, get it checked out. And don't feel, you know, overwhelmed about being overweight. That's just about 70% of our population. We all have a little bit of extra pounds. Guess what? You're able to remove those pounds by just introducing some exercise. What you definitely want to do is at least have 10 to 15 minutes exercise every day. Shift it all the way up to 30 minutes every day and get your heart in the aerobic zone where you're burning fat. That will help drop some of the pounds. When it comes to being diabetic, yes, you do need to lose a couple pounds. Watching your weight, in decreasing the weight that is on one person, definitely reduces the risk. What we do know, obesity, being overweight, increases the sequelae, the complications. And the complications of diabetes can be quite a lot. Again, your healthcare professional is your partner in health. Have the conversation. If it's not the doctor who's going to guide, there can be a nutritionist. Sometimes even one is engaging a health coach, because some matters of your holistic health can be guided by these health coaches. Hope that answers your question.
Good day, doctor. What are some of the advantages of garlic? than garlic.
I love when our callers call in about what I call these superfoods. That means, one, they're cooking at home, and I'm hoping that they're using, say, garlic or turmeric or cinnamon, much over using all of that high salt, high sugar. So what are the benefits? Yes, garlic is one of those superfoods. It can indeed reduce your blood pressure. It's been shown to reduce cholesterol levels. It's also been shown to have these antibiotic properties and help fight or support your immune system. Yes, garlic is one of those superfoods. What do you do with it? You can crush it, cook with it. Even some persons have a little bit of garlic in their first morning tea. Yes, that might come at a little bit of a not very pleasant on your palate, but there are a host of anti-inflammatory effects to help with your system. So yes, garlic is one of those superfoods. Feel free to include it in just about anything that you're eating or drinking.
What about the garlic powder? Do you recommend that? I mean, for some of us who cannot stand garlic, like
me. Yes, I know the taste alone could be a little bit obnoxious. The garlic powder, keep in mind, anything that goes through processing has certain chemicals in it. I do find the garlic powder is a little bit more saltier than just using garlic as a seasoning. What I would suggest is peeling the cloves and crushing it. Or you can use the finely crushed or finely cut garlic. And I use that in just about everything that I'm cooking. It adds that extra little flavor. For those who can't stand it, that's okay. But I would rather you not revert to the garlic powder.
Okay, Dubs, what are some of the causes of a migraine headache? And is this the sign of something? I have a friend who gets a lot of bad migraines, complains all the time.
Oh my, I understand that migraine headaches can be quite debilitating. That pain, so let's first identify if it is a migraine or if it's related to a vision deficit. We are having a number of patients with complications of their vision because of, I guess, being on the computer for so many hours and presenting with headaches. So the migraines can be associated with changes in the light sensation, changes in the way their taste as well. They may have this pulsing sensation. What causes migraines? It can be, again, hereditary in nature. It can be as well. Sometimes it's neurovascular in nature. And that's why the medications for it is indeed medications that manage the dilation of the blood vessels. It's very, very important that you also treat some of the additional symptoms. One may get vomiting with migraines, so you want to manage that. One may feel very dizzy, disoriented. You want to manage that. One may have that sense of photophobia where the light affects them. They may want to go into a darkened room. So this migraine, yes, please get it checked out. If it becomes overbearing, there can be triggers in your hormone that can present or precipitate the migraine. We've talked often about this particular cause, stress. Stress is your number one cause of migraines. Changes in your sleep, even certain medications can trigger a migraine. So please get it checked out. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, 627-3223-625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Vibe City 105 FM, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sagitt 106.1 and Sky 99.5 FM. And we also take in your WhatsApp messages at 306-1065. All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I would like the doctor to say something about the hormonal imbalance, especially in women like over 45, 50 years. Thank you.
Thank you so much for asking. Now, what happens with these hormones? It's not necessarily an imbalance. It's just a change on the normal structures, the normal cycles, because one is going through these different stages. We talked a little bit about the perimenopausal time that can start from as early as 35, but one goes into that menopause time where there's a loss or there's no period for an entire month, and that typically happens around age 50, 51, 52. Now, if there are changes in the hormones or a hormonal imbalance, that is something we certainly need to get checked out. It can be from hyper or hypothyroidism. It can be from one of those other chemical imbalances as well. One may even get a hormonal imbalance when there are changes in weight. So the glands within the endocrine system, if there's a dysfunction there, then these hormones are produced at different values. What we typically assess is something called the FSH, the LH, and of course the progesterone, and of course the estrogen, just to check what the values are. But for one going through the perimenopausal time, keep in mind that a hormonal imbalance can present with a host of symptoms, from as bad as acne, from increases in moodiness, from depression, to problem sleeping, to even affecting your sex drive. And that's why it's so important, if you're feeling these symptoms, get it checked out. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, let's get a question here. Good afternoon. Follow-up question from the myomectomy message sent in earlier. Is it possible to reduce fibroids?
So yes, it is, but most times than not, there needs to be aggressive treatment. Anyone with a fibroid, we don't just leave it. We must monitor. It can have multiple fibroids. In fact, Bass, do you know what's the largest fibroid that persons can present with even here in Trinidad? It can be as big as a baby.
Wow.
Some fibroids can grow so large within the uterine cavity, it can present as a pseudo pregnancy or fake pregnancy, and that's how large a fibroid can go. So it's so important that there's that monitoring and of course surgical treatment.
And what actually causes fibroids?
Right. So fibroids tend to be, again, familial, as in within something that's genetic, or is where there is this a prolonged exposure to certain hormones. So if there's an increased amount of estrogen within the body, then that can lead to the development of fibroids. We mentioned the genetics factor there as well. There are other hormonal imbalances that can lead to the development of fibroids. They are extremely common. They're almost like non-cancerous tumors in the body. In fact, there are even some that may not know what is the actual cause. The one that is well documented is that prolonged exposure to estrogen.
Okay, great. Good day all. Pain from the inner side of the knees. What can be causing this?
So any sort of pain, again, you all know how I feel about pain. When it comes to pain, especially on the inner aspect of the lower limbs, that may be directly related to a nerve stenosis. So it may be a lumbar stenosis. It may even be sciatica, and it moves down into different dermatomes. Please get that pain checked out.
All right, great. Somebody here just took their blood pressure. I just took my blood pressure. It is 30 over 70. I'm a 76-year-old female. I started to feel a little bit dizzy. They have a pacemaker and their heart rate is 60.
Can you just repeat the blood pressure value?
Yeah, the blood pressure is 130 over 70.
130 over 70.
They're feeling a bit dizzy.
So 130 over 70 is not that badly elevated. It's mildly elevated. I'm glad you checked it. Keep in mind, if you are on medications, then stay consistent with it.
Okay. Okay, this one is coming from Sangi. Good day, Doc. Is fish oil capsules and women's supplements and hair, skin, and nails good to take altogether? Is it safe?
So fish oil capsules, yes, they are indeed one that we do advise that you persons can use. Regularity of use is not probably the best thing unless there's a deficiency with either the vitamin A or, of course, any of those retinols. So unless it's prescribed by the healthcare professional, then I wouldn't use it regularly. If it is part of your treatment plan, then sure, not a problem.
All right, good afternoon, Doctor. How can someone determine when they need to take a probiotic?
Can you just, for some reason, I'm really not hearing.
Oh, you're not hearing? Okay.
Yeah,
a probiotic. I don't know if a probiotic. I don't know if they spelled
it. Oh,
they spelled it wrong.
Yes,
all right.
Yes,
but
yes.
It is probiotic.
Understand completely. Yes. Right. Yeah, probiotic. Sometimes persons may type things in a different way. So here's what. With probiotics, are they beneficial? Probiotics can help maintain the community of the microorganisms within your body. When persons may say have gastro or increased amount of diarrhea, then those probiotics are necessary to be replaced. Do we need to actually take these probiotics? Unless prescribed by your healthcare professional, that's what we tend to recommend. What does the probiotic do? It actually influence or it helps support your body immune system. It's within the gut, you see, there's a host of microbiome, a host of different pathogens, bacteria, viruses, and they all live comfortably. But when there's an off balance of it within the gut, then that's when we may need to return the use of some of these gut bacteria by the probiotic. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Good afternoon, Doctor. Is it better to take multivitamins or should one just take, the vitamins separately based on their needs?
So when it comes to multivitamins, yes, there are separate ones that you can indeed take, but it's all based on where you are at. So let's say it's an elderly patient who is not having a good diet, a good appetite, then they may be deficient in a number of these micronutrients. They may need to take a vitamin A or vitamin B in particular. But let's say it's a healthy, active adolescent who has a good appetite, or a young male or female, then they are able to get that nutritionist value from what they're eating and may not need to take these micronutrients. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Good afternoon, Doctor. I'm a 64-year-old female. I do not take any supplements at all. My blood pressure pills, I try to eat healthier. Is that all right?
So yes, certainly, that is perfect. Just like I said, you do not need to take supplements if you are indeed eating well. Great answer to that person who messaged in.
Okay, my doctor told me to drink more water. I am doing that, but it's making me use the washroom more often. But I have a problem. I can't reach the washroom in time. This is causing problems. What can I do?
So it's so important that we do maintain that hydration every single day. I know it's a bit of a difficult balance to be able to maintain your hydration and, of course, the output, the urine output. If there is that close washroom by, then that will certainly help. Here's where you have to navigate your own schedule, because you'll know if when you're closer to the washroom, then that's the time you can up or elevate your hydration. But keep in mind, we encourage about 2 liters a day. You can utilize other avenues of ensuring you get that hydration, be it by fruit juices, be it by fruits, because you can get a level of hydration in your fruits or in teas. But if you are having teas or coffee, monitor the amount of sugar. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks, of course, we have just about 11 more minutes. 627-3223-625-2257. Send your WhatsApp messages to 306-1065. Feel free to message all the frequencies, and they will send your messages right to us. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor on Vibe City 105 FM, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, and Sky 99.5 FM. All right, somebody's typing a message here. That's the same person with the reaching the washroom in time. All right. Good afternoon, doctor. I have high blood pressure, but under control with meds. Is it okay to take other medication that promotes, you know, ease of pain? Eases of pain.
Excellent question. I'm so proud of this person who messaged in. Yes, I'm glad you are taking your medications to maintain, manage your high blood pressure. Now, here's the thing about pain medications. Pain on the whole will elevate your high blood pressure. Keep that in mind. Over-the-counter medications, yes, you can continue to, but there are some over-the-counter medications, say those with sodium naproxen, anything that has sodium in it will also elevate your blood pressure. So just check what they are, what those over-the-counter medications are, and ensure you're not worsening your high blood pressure situation. Excellent question.
All right. Good day. Doctor, I am 6 months pregnant. Is it okay to have a glass of wine from time to time?
So yes, you certainly can. However, everything in moderation. If you need to have a glass of wine, I would lean into the red wine. There is the health benefits of red wine, but everything in small amounts.
Hi, good day, doc. Is acetaminophen 500 milligrams safe to take for pain? I have high blood pressure.
So that one, I may not be fully familiar with. That may be the trade name. Again, if it was prescribed by your healthcare professional, then I'm certain it is okay to be relieving your pain.
All right. Good day, doctor. Been getting mild chest pains. Blood pressure is 123 over 80. Did an ECG. The doctor said everything's good, but getting a little short breath occasionally. What do you suggest?
So anytime you're experiencing shortness of breath or that pain in the chest, that is complicated. I'm glad you did the ECG. That means that we have ruled out the possibility of a heart attack, but there can be the precursor to it. And that's that preliminary pain, angina. So let's make sure, one, we're managing very tightly. If you are hypertensive, let's make sure that if that shortness of breath is coming on, that you know what your next steps are. In those moments, take a seat, relax, take deep breaths. Also have your high blood pressure medication close by and put a plan in place in terms of going to the health center or your healthcare professional. Once you're starting to experience that pain of the within the chest walls and that angina, those are precursor pains. I'm glad the ECG was okay. I would probably want you to take one step further and do a echocardiogram. That's the ultrasound of the heart, and it will certainly give a little bit more indication on if there's any damage of the heart. Hope that answers your question.
Good afternoon, doctor and host. I recently went to the dentist, did a teeth cleaning, but I noticed 2 days ago some stains on my teeth. I did, however, change my toothpaste. What could be the cause of this?
So when it comes to the teeth, I'm glad you did your tooth cleaning. Any sort of stains is indeed tartar onto the enamel. And yes, you can simply continue to ensure, one, there's proper dental hygiene, not just brushing the teeth once or twice a day. Sometimes some persons may even brush 3 times a day after every meal. You may also want to include flossing and usage of a mouthwash. All of that will improve your oral hygiene. Hope that answers the question.
And what are your thoughts on using baking soda on the teeth, Doctor?
So baking soda can be used, but after, if it's used excessively, it can strip away the enamel. Some toothpaste do have the baking soda incorporated within it, and that's in a small amount, in the percentages that are indeed acceptable. So yes, but again, everything but by guidance.
All right, thank you. Let's get a call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, doctor. Mm-hmm. If someone is non-diabetic, but they're hypertensive, should they still need to watch the amount of sugar they eat?
So yes, what we have noticed is that most of our patients who are hypertensive, that's one, non-communicable disease, they can be at risk of other communicable diseases because they're all lifestyle factors that predispose. So yes, please watch the amount of sugar that you are having, even if you're non-diabetic.
Okay, folks, 627-3223-625-2257. WhatsApp messages 306-1065. We have just about 6 more minutes, and you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor, a show that is changing lives and educating people on their health every single day. What are some of the things that people may tell you? I'm sure, Doctor, when you probably go in a store to buy something, do they recognize your voice?
Yes. Now, when I go to the mall, go to the store, In fact, we went to a grocery recently and the show was being played on repeat. Right. And the manager shares during the lunchtime hour, they ensure that the show is played and they even encourage their workers to stop and tune in if possible.
That is beautiful.
Not only is the voice recognized there, it's recognized even by law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Some police officers recently recognized the voice because we also did a conversation on managing stress with our police officers, with our law enforcement officers.
That's great.
It's so important that we know our health. We can manage it ourselves, and it's literally in our habits, our daily habits, what we do. I am here, all of the doctors are here to give you that advice, but it works. Two hands together, just like two hands clap together, we can give the advice. We need you all, the patients, the listeners, to follow through, to understand, to ask questions. And that's why I love this show, because persons feel comfortable to ask the questions.
Nice. Let's get a question here via the phones. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon there. What causes the numbness in the leg, your feet?
So when you're experiencing that numbness, there are quite a few causes. We've talked about that over and over right here, but let's just go it over a little bit again. Most patients experience that numbness because of, if they're complicated by diabetes or hypertension, it's a neuropathy setting in where the nerves are becoming damaged. That numbness in the feet is mainly caused by a lack of blood flow or nerve injury. So if there's any sort of blockage, like if the cholesterol levels are high, then that's what will trigger the numbness. It could be because of, like we mentioned, diabetes, hypertension, or some sort of inflammatory condition, some sort of previous trauma or injury. Should you be worried? Yes, yes, yes. Please get that checked out, because it will only become worse. If there's any sort of problem with the nerve endings, it's important that it be treated right away and further damage isn't precipitated. You see, that numbness will not just magically go away. We have patients who sometimes try to massage the feet and think, well, the massaging will help it. Yes, it will help it, but we need to get to the bottom, to the root cause of it. And like I said, in our environment, most times it's managing the sugar, managing your blood pressure, and of course, cholesterol values. Hope that answers the question.
All right, we have time for just about a few more questions. Let's check the WhatsApp here. Hi, doctor. Can a lack of circulation cause constipation?
So not necessarily constipation would be if there is an inhibition of the bowel action. The lack of circulation would be more in the lower limbs, or again the limbs, the upper limbs, or within the major organs. The lack of circulation within the gut itself may not necessarily lead, is not your number one cause for constipation. What you're eating, the nutrition, the level of hydration, all of those are major factors that would lead to constipation.
All right, and another question. What are the signs and symptoms of a brain aneurysm?
Excellent question. Now, when we say aneurysm, let me first define what is that. It's within the walls of the blood vessels, there's a weakness and it bulges. And that bulge itself can actually erupt. It can burst, or within that area, the blood pressure becomes so protruded, so pronounced that it blocks other passageway of either the nerves. It may constrict the nerves, it may even constrict the veins. What are the signs now is one may feel a sudden agonizing headache. So this headache is not like a migraine headache, which is a dull pain. One may feel this agonizing, debilitating headache. One may feel very, very sick, nauseous. They may start to vomit. They may even have problems with their vision, and they may experience this stiffened neck. Any of these symptoms, right away, you need to present to the emergency medicine. Unfortunately, brain aneurysms do not have good outcomes. Most times, the time frame to which it presents, and then of course seeking treatment, is that window is short. And if it's not within the short, fortunately, if there's a rupture, one may lose their life. So please, when it comes to aneurysms, do not take that lightly.
Great, great, doctor. Well, it's 1 p.m. and that's our time for today.
Oh my gosh, look how quickly 1 hour has passed by.
It does.
Thank you, gratitude to all who message, to all who are tuning in, and of course sending me a couple of messages letting me know you're tuned in. We appreciate you take one fact, one thing that we shared here, and share it with your loved ones. You may be saving a life. The life of your loved ones and the life of yourself. Make sure tune in right here tomorrow for your Lunchtime Doctor.
Thank you there very much, Doctor. Of course, folks, you've been listening to the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Safiya Mohammed, your favorite Lunchtime Doctor. Join us again tomorrow at 12 noon right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.